Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Good to see everybody in here this morning. We're going to open up with prayer and get started. Glad you are here. Did you come on purpose? Did you come expecting? Yes. Expecting what, Pastor? Expecting God to meet you at your faith, in your faith. Expecting to go up higher in your faith. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you this morning just thanking you, praising you, blessing you because you're such a good, good Father. You always take care of us in grand style, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing worn, nothing torn, nothing stolen in Jesus' name. We believe today the word of God will go forth with power. And by the might of the Holy Spirit, we thank you for the Holy Ghost in here today that he is the revealer of all truth. Bring an illumination, revelation, understanding into the heart of each listener today. We believe, Lord God, that the blood of Jesus makes a way when there seems to be no way. The blood makes a way, and we plead the blood of Jesus over this service today, over each listening ear, every heart, their physical bodies. We plead the blood, and we declare where the blood is applied, Satan, sickness, disease, fear is denied in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise today in here, Father, and granting me utterance in the Holy Ghost. Think through my thoughts, speak through my lips your words today. I humble myself under your mighty hand, and I thank you, Lord God, for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we always like to start out making our confession, but also we want to welcome all those that are online with us this morning. Hallelujah. Glad you are with us. And also, you know, if you receive a healing there online, let us know about it. Share it with us. Let us know. Because we believe there's no distance in the spirit when it comes to the healing power of God. And when you have your ears tuned in and your heart open and receptive, it can take place for you right there just as well as it can right here in this sanctuary. Amen. So let's get our Bibles. Let's make this confession of faith together. Hallelujah. I believe this is my Bible. This is God speaking to me. This word is enough for me. I believe I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I receive the incorruptible, indestructible word of God into my heart. And I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we have been talking about healing and that healing can be a process or it can be gradual. That just because something is supernatural does not mean it is always instantaneous. Sometimes your faith will produce an instant healing, and sometimes your faith will produce a what? Gradual healing, or a healing that takes place through a process. Either way, we need to learn to accept them both and know how to cooperate in both situations. And so we have been looking at different Bible examples. And through the Bible examples that we have been looking at, we have also been making some statements here that healing is not always instantaneous and it can be a process. Even Jesus told the believers in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, what did he say? The believing one shall lay hands on the sick and they shall what? Recover. That's a process. Yeah. We said that everything that is supernatural isn't always instantaneous. Many times the healing power of God, listen to me now, many times the healing power of God is administered to a person and the healing process becomes evident later on. We have proof in here today. The healing process. This is where many times people will go up in healing lines when a healing invitation is given. They'll go up in the line, and just because something did not to them in their thinking did not happen instant, they didn't feel something immediately, they didn't see something immediately, they automatically begin to think that they did not receive anything. And that's just where the enemy wants you to get or be or say. But we have to learn that when we do come up in a healing line, there's an invitation given and we're believing to release our faith when a healing invitation is given. Remember now, when a healing line is called and hands are laid on you, that is a point of contact for you to release your faith. Because somewhere along the line, you have to get to a place where you release your faith. Faith is released through words and actions. So when you initiate to get out of your seat and come up here, then you're expecting your healing to take place. You're not expecting the minister to heal you. You're expecting Jesus, who is the healer, to heal you. The minister is just a vessel or a conduit of his healing power to flow through to get to you. And you're believing as a point of contact, man, the moment hands are laid on me, bless God. Woo, I can't wait for that moment today when hands are laid on me. I'm releasing my faith and I'm believing I'm receiving my healing. So you get up here, you're all excited about it. You're in the line. The minister goes down the line, lays hands on you. You didn't feel a thing. Didn't feel no change. Didn't look like anything happened. But you know what? If you truly believed, something did happen. And we have to learn to keep the switch of faith turned on. Even though we don't feel something or see something immediately right here in this line, we have to believe, God, I believe, bless God, I'm believing today when hands are laid on me, the healing power of God is going to flow into my body, hallelujah, and it's going to perfect a healing and a cure, whether it's instantaneous or it's a process. You believe. And how do we do that? By confirming with our words what we believe in our heart. I believe I have received my healing. And you're saying with your mouth and affirming constantly, I believe when hands were laid on me at so-and-so, such-and-such date, at such-and-such time, the healing power of God went into my body. That healing power is at work in me, perfecting a what? A cure and a healing. That's what's working in you. Pain and symptoms, listen to me now, pain and symptoms are not the proof and the evidence that you're not healed.
No, they're not.
It's a lie from the pit of hell. That's right. Just because you're feeling it doesn't mean you're failing it. Faith believes beyond what it can see and feel, because seeing and feeling is the voice of your body. And your body does not or should not dictate to you about what you have and what you don't have. But if your mind is in agreement, listen to me now, our minds have been renewed and our minds are in agreement with what God has said, and you get to that place that you release your faith, you believe you receive, and in your heart you're fully persuaded and you're convinced that it is yours today. It's mine today. Healing is mine. I take it now. Bless God. I'm leaving out of here totally healed and cured. Now what about, I gave an example about that woman with 11 days. She went up to one of Brother Hagin's healing lines. She was in stage 4 cancer. She'd been given up by the doctors. They did everything they could do for her. He laid hands on her. She believed, she received. In fact, her husband had to wheel her up in the wheelchair because she was so weak at the point of her stage 4 cancer that she couldn't walk anymore. And so they brought her up in the wheelchair, turned her around, went back home in the wheelchair. Her and her husband every single day got up every morning, praised and thanked God for her healing, because she believed, she received when she went up in that healing line. That was her point of contact to release her faith. Didn't matter what it felt like, what it looked like, what it seemed like. 11 days went by. Every morning she would get up in pain and even be crying with the pain, but her husband and her would give thanks and praise to God every day together. 11 days for her healing, thanking God, praising God for her healing. You know, that's a point of releasing her faith through her actions. Thanksgiving and praise is action. 11th day, she gets up, she realizes she's pain-free. She takes no medication, she waits 3 days. No symptoms return. She goes back to the doctors. This is after, 11th day, she wakes up pain-free. She waits 3 days, takes no medication, no symptoms return, goes back to her doctor. They run the test, and what? They could not find any cancer. 11 days. She kept the switch of faith turned on. Wonder if in the middle of that 11 days, maybe about the 10th day, 9th day, 8th day, she would have said, oh, well, healing ain't for me. If it was God's will, he'd just heal me. You know, Pastor Debbie, that if it was God's will, he would give me faith to be healed. Let me tell you something. It don't work like that. God already took care of your healing 2,000 years ago on that cross when he sent his son to take your place. Healing was provided for you in the great plan of redemption. Just like salvation was provided, healing was provided. It is a free gift. It belongs to you. It is yours. Now God is waiting for you to do something about it, to take it by faith. Take it by faith. And the only thing that's going to persuade your heart is the Word of God. The Word right here. The Word is the only thing that's going to convince you, give you faith, develop your faith, grow your faith. It's the Word of God. And we know that healing is spiritual. It's not out here somewhere. We're bringing it out here, in here. It's spiritual, and it starts in your spirit, in your heart. Faith is of the heart. So faith, your faith, when you get convinced by this Word that you're healed, is going to paint a picture on the canvas of your heart first. You're going to see it in here first. You're going to see it right here. And if you can see it in here, then you can see it out here. You can have it out here. Yeah, what, Pastor? Yep. Faith will always paint a picture. Words paint pictures. The Word of God paints pictures. And if we do like the Bible says, if we meditate on it day and night, Joshua 1:8, meditate, think on it, mutter it to yourself over and over and over and over again, and can get tired of doing that. That's a process of getting it from where it is information, moves down into your heart as revelation, and then it comes back up as application. You begin to do it. It moves you to do something. Your faith moves you to do something because you believe you have something. You are what God says you are. You have what God says you have. You can do what God says you can do. So 11 days, went back to the doctors. No medication, took no medication, no symptoms. Totally cancer free. Healing can be a process. Sometimes your faith will produce a process healing or a gradual healing. We have to learn to accept them both, whether it's instantaneous or gradual. And keep that switch of faith turned on by saying you believe you have received. But you have to get to that place where you believe you receive. And you're going to have to release your faith at a certain point, whether you're sitting there in your seat today and you say, bless God, I believe exactly what Pastor Debbie is saying according to the Word of God. That's mine today. I take it now. I make it mine. I'm owning this thing. It's mine, bless God. And I'm not leaving here without it. Hallelujah. I don't care what's said. I don't care what it feels like, what it looks like. But according to my faith, I believe I receive my healing. You have to be adamant about it. You can't be just wishy-washy, hoping so, thinking so, basing your faith on somebody else's experience. Well, they did this, Pastor Debbie, and it worked for them. You can't base your faith on what, that was a revelation to them. That's why I always say you have to go before the Lord for yourself and find out what the Lord would tell you. I have been told different things every single time when I have received my own healing for myself. Sometimes the Lord would, I go to my prayer closet. I'm like, Lord, this thing I'm dealing with, how do you want me to deal with this according to your word? And sometimes I would hear the word, you can have what you say. Well, I knew immediately that it was Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou what? Cast into the sea, shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe those things that they say they shall have. Hallelujah. So I know I was to begin to speak to that thing. Hallelujah. That was riding on the airplanes, because every time I'd get on a trip to go ride on an airplane, I would have problems with my ears so bad that they would bleed. Hallelujah. But God has healed me. Hallelujah. Did it happen overnight? No, it was a process. I knew I could say to that mountain. And I began to speak it 6 months out before I even began to fly on the airplane. I knew what the time I was going to fly, where I'd be flying. So I began to say, 6 months out, when I fly on this airplane, my ears are going to adjust and the altitude changes. Going up, coming down, ascending and descending. My ears will adjust. I will not have problems or complications in flying in Jesus' name. Now, if I had stopped the first time when I got on that plane and we went up, the plane began to ascend, and I began to feel the pressure, and I knew my ears were not releasing and popping like they're supposed to adjust to the altitude changes. Fear tried to set in. Yeah, you had to deal with fear, Pastor Debbie. Yes, I had to deal with fear just like you have to. It's a spirit of fear. Jesus said he didn't give us a spirit of fear. We have to deal with fear. Resist fear in Jesus' name. Speak to it. Tell it. I resist you, fear, in Jesus' name. You cannot, you will not have power over me. Kept doing it. By the third time I flew, every time it would get less and less and less. Less, less, and less. Finally, by the fourth time, the third time was really eased up a lot. The fourth time, no more pain. To this day, no more pain. And I will never have pain in my ears again when I fly anywhere. But you have to know that. It has to be a revelation to you. And like I said, I got in my prayer closet. Other times I've heard the Holy Ghost said, pray the prayer of faith, believe you receive, and take it. Okay. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall what? Have them. Sometimes I would do that. It's knowing what the Spirit of God tells you to do. Sometimes he might say, have your husband lay hands on you. Lord, you want me to go to my husband? Yes. Sometimes that's just true humility. The thing is to know what the Spirit of God is telling you to do, and then be adamant about it. Stick with it. Stick with it. Don't stop in the middle of it. Stick with it. And you'll see, you'll see what the Word says belongs to you. You'll have it, just like it says in the Word. Happens every single time. The Word always works. And it works for whosoever will what? Believe it, receive it, and act on it. The Word has the power within itself to fulfill itself. It is medicine. So we said, because healing is not always instantaneous, many people lose the beginning of their healing. And they begin to say with their mouth, I guess I did not get it. And immediately they say that, they oblige the devil. The devil comes right in and gives them exactly what they just said with their mouth. I guess I didn't get it. So he accommodates that. Brings the pain, the symptoms on even stronger. And you think, I guess I didn't get it. See, just like God is looking for agreement. Oh my. Just like God the Father is looking for us to agree with him concerning his word of what belongs to us, the devil also looks for agreement with his words so that he can activate the negative on his part, because he's the opposite of faith. He's fear. And he operates through fear. And when you're not in faith and you begin to say these things, then he comes right along with the pain and the symptoms increases that. And if you don't know how to stand your ground and resist the pain, resist the symptoms. So just like Smith Wigglesworth would say, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe. I believe God. I believe I have received my healing according to the Word of God. Whether it was the prayer of faith, hands were laid on you, a corporate faith, you believed you received, whatever. No, we must learn to rise up and say, I believe the healing power of God is actively at work in my body, perfecting a cure and a healing. Not just one time, not just two times. Say it continually. Well, wonder if the enemy's coming at me constantly with the trying to bring pain and symptoms. Continue to say with your mouth, I rebuke the symptoms. I rebuke the pain. I believe the healing power of God is at work in me. Say it. Say it. Say it. Remember, the speech center is the dominion center of our lives. The greatest use of your words is for domination. You to rule and reign in this life as kings and priests, like it tells us in Romans 5:17. We are, Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. He calls us priests and kings in his kingdom. A king, when a king rules and reigns, what does he do? He decrees something and it's done. No questions asked. If the king decrees it, that's it. That's the way it is. Ruling and reigning in our domain, we using our words for our domination. You declare and you decree what you believe is so for you and your family, your household, your marriage, your children. You believe you... Come on now. The speech center is the dominion center of our lives. Your voice is your address into the realm of the spirit and your ticket out of Satan's dominion. If the devil can't deceive you, he cannot defeat you. He only wins through bluff and deceit. So just because you're feeling it does not mean you're failing it. Pain and symptoms is not the proof and the evidence that you're not healed. The Word of God is the proof and the evidence that you are healed. I believe I have received my healing. I believe that healing power is working in me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, hallelujah, fight the good fight of faith. There is a fight to stay in faith because the enemy is trying to sway you, move you, swerve you off your faith and trust in God and what he's spoken. That's why it calls it a good fight, because it's already been declared who has won. You're the winner. You're the overcomer. You're the more than conqueror. You're the victorious one. You're not the sick trying to get your healing. You are the redeemed, the healed, and the devil is trying to get you to accept sickness or disease or whatever. He's trying to get you to accept it. We're not trying to get the victory. We're coming from the victory through our King and Lord who has gone before us. Hallelujah. A mighty warrior who has already defeated the devil for us. And what are we doing? Enforcing that defeat. With our faith. With our faith. With our faith. On a continual basis. Not once a week. And then you go jump in bed and pull the covers over your head. No, it don't work like that. I'm saying you need to put pressure back against the enemy. When he's bringing pressure against you, you put pressure, resistance back against him. Resistance means to just push away. You're pushing away with your faith and what God has said. No, God has said this. I believe this. This is what's true for me. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Dance, praise, thank God that is yours. And remember this, you cannot fight thoughts with thoughts. You cannot fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts with words, spoken words.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Stop trying to figure it out and start calling it out. Call those things that be not as though they were until they are. Hallelujah. Call it. If you're the ruler, you're the one that calls the shots. Not your adversary. Don't let him call the shots. You call the shots. Come on now. The enemy is just as serious about this life that we're living in. He's serious about it. His tactics, his schemes, his strategies, it's organized, it's structured. He's very serious about it. How much more, as the body of Christ, should we be organized, structured in our faith and our walk with God to know our enemy, where it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. No, 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 no. Not to be ignorant of his devices. We know our enemy. We know we're stronger than our enemy. Hallelujah. He's been defeated. And we know how to exercise our authority from our heart. We know how to exercise our authority from our hearts. Many times people are trying to exercise their faith and it's still head knowledge, information, sense knowledge, and it's not revelation knowledge. And they get out there and they fall flat on their face and they wonder what happened. It's because it's not been revealed, it's not been quickened, it's not been made real to you on the inside by the Holy Spirit. And so it's head knowledge, sense knowledge. We have to make our lips do their duty. Make your lips do their duty by you dominating in your domain, ruling and reigning in your domain. Your domain. You can't rule and reign somebody else's domain, but you can rule and reign in your domain. So we looked at some examples. Hallelujah. We looked at some examples. Number one, we looked at the nobleman's son in John chapter 4, verse 46 through 53. And in the nobleman's son, where he heard about Jesus, that he was coming around there, so he went and he began to fall down and worship and plead with Jesus to come to his house and heal his son. He began to plead with Jesus, come to my house and heal my son. And Jesus began to say, unless you see signs, wonders, and miracles, you won't believe. So what was Jesus trying to do? He's trying to get the people to move from sight to taking him at his word. Because when Jesus came on the scene, he was demanding what? Faith, which the people were not used to. So he's moving them from having to see it in order to believe it, to believe my word, take me at my word. So he looks back at the nobleman and he said, please, sir, just come to my house and heal my son. Jesus said, go in peace, your son shall live. Now that man had a choice. He could have said, oh my gosh, you mean you're not going to come to my house? I asked you to come to my house. And he could have stopped it right there and just walked off with his head down. But he said, Jesus said, go in peace, and my son shall live. He took that word as if it was his very own. He received it. He owned it. He possessed it. He said, bless God, this is mine. And he began to act. His words produced an action, and he took off believing, go in peace, your son shall live. Go in peace, your son shall live. Now, why would Jesus say go in peace? Because he knew on his way back, because it was at least a day's journey, because it said when the nobleman starts heading back, he meets his servants, and his servants begin to tell him, what? As yesterday, at this time, the fever left him, disappeared. And that's when the nobleman realized, that's when Jesus said, your son shall live. It was a what? Process. It was gradual until he got totally healed. But it started when the fever left him, because Jesus spoke the word and the man believed the words that Jesus spoke. If he could believe that word then, and we're under a better covenant based upon better promises, come on now. And Jesus says, by my stripes you were healed. I'm waiting for a word from the Lord, Pastor Debbie. You've got 66 books right here. You got in the New Testament, Matthew 8:17, 1 Peter 2:24, Psalms 107, verse 20. You got his word. He sent his word and healed you and delivered you from all your destruction. Remember I told that testimony about that man that this tumor grew out of his chest and it was the size of two fists? Finally, he heard the word of faith concerning healing. He didn't realize that. He got a hold of that healing word and began to release his faith. It was nasty. It was ugly. It looked horrible. The doctors couldn't even remove it. They said it would kill you if we decided to move that thing, to cut it off of you. It would kill you. So he decided to release his faith and believe God according to the word. He got a revelation concerning this scripture right here. It is God all the while at work in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That became quickened to him. You see what I'm saying about getting in your prayer closet and finding out what he would say to you? He heard that. That was quickened. It was made alive in his heart. He grabbed a hold of it. He began to possess it, own it, make it his. This is the problem so many times. We don't own it, possess it, make it, I personalize it. Lord, I take that word. It's my word. I make it my word today in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. So he began to believe God, that it was God working in him, not the tumor. It was God. 3 weeks go by. He notices after 3 weeks the tumor begins to shrink. After 3 weeks. 6 months went by. The tumor was totally dissolved, gone. He got pure new skin. Couldn't even tell it was something there. 6 months. He kept the switch of faith turned on. He believed God. He was not moved by what he was seeing nor feeling. His wife would have to change the bandages because it would run, and it was just nasty. 6 months. So he is a nobleman. He believes the word that Jesus said to him, and he goes. And it was a process for his son. But it began, it started, the fever left it, and he was totally restored to normal. Then we looked at what? We looked at the blind man at Bethesda. Jesus had to what? Lead him out of the village. Jesus spit on this blind man's eyes, and he laid hands on him and prayed. And he asked him, what do you see? The blind man said, I see men as trees walking around. Jesus lays his hands on him again. Notice he did not pray again. He laid hands on him again. That is scriptural, to lay hands on somebody more than one time. Not to pray twice like you didn't get it the first. No. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, praise God. And when he did on the second time, he asked him. He says, I see fully, completely. Everything is normal as it should be. And what did Jesus tell him after this blind man got healed and received his sight? So we also know that was a gradual healing, because when Jesus first laid his hands on him, he didn't have this full sight restored. That was a process. The man could have said, oh boy, I guess I'm supposed to just be kind of like seeing partially. No. Jesus put his hands on him again. And plus we found out that when Jesus spit on the man's eyes, that spit was saying what the Jews had a tradition, a belief, that the first male born that opened the womb had healing in his spit. So Jesus was saying to them, I am anointed, I am the Son of God, when he spit on the man's eyes. And then Jesus, after he took him out of the village and healed him, he told the man, what? Don't go back to that village. Don't go back in there, and don't tell anybody what was done to you. Notice he didn't say, don't tell anybody. He just said, don't tell them what God has done for you. Why? Because Jesus was protecting this man in his healing. Jesus knew that if this man went back to the village that he pulled him out of by the hand and took him out, he knew if he went back in there, he would lose his healing. There was so much doubt and unbelief in that village. They didn't believe in Jesus, didn't believe what Jesus was doing. They would have talked that man right out of his healing. He would have lost it right there. He said, don't go back. Don't tell them But he didn't tell him that you can't tell what great things the Lord has done elsewhere. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that was a process again. Then we looked at the 10 lepers. Here's another process. The 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17, verse 12 through 19, as they went, Jesus told them, there's 10 lepers that stood afar off. They heard about Jesus. They saw him. Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus said, go to the priest, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. Only one returned and went back to Jesus, who was a Samaritan who didn't even have a covenant with God. He was a Samaritan. Jesus called him an alien. He said, this one alien came back to give thanks to God. This one Samaritan came back. When he recognized he was healed, he came back to Jesus and he began to worship him and thank him and just over and over to thank him that he was healed. I'm telling you, and all the rest, Jesus said, where's the other nine? Notice this concerns Jesus. He's like, where are the other nine? Were there not 10 of you that were healed and only one could come back and thank and acknowledge God that they were healed? And he said, go, your faith has made you whole. So that man, he got more than the other nine got. They might have got healed. Their skin was immediately made new. But if this man had lost his fingers, ears, nose, toes, whatever from the leprosy, it was restored to him. He was made whole by his faith. That was a process. As they went, they also acted on what? The words Jesus spoke. Go show yourself to the priest. If they had not gone and showed this, it wouldn't have happened. It was an action. Jesus was moving them from sight to what? Believing him at his, taking him at his word. Just like today, simply taking him at his word. We don't want to be like the nine lepers who go on their way and never see them again. They never say any more thanks to God. No, nothing. That ain't the purpose. No. God wants to be glorified. He wants you to tell others what great things he's done for you. Oh, boy. What, Pastor? Yep. Let's look today. Let's go to another example. We're going to go to John chapter 9 today. We're talking about healing can be a process. It might be gradual. Doesn't mean it can't never be instantaneous. I've had instantaneous and I've had gradual. More gradual than instantaneous, but I've had both. Hallelujah. We just got to learn to accept both and know how to keep the switch of faith turned on. Amen? Don't allow your feelings to tell you. So in John chapter 9, we're going to begin reading together. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, and this is about a blind man. And we're talking about gradual healings, or healings that take place in a process. It says, as he passed along, verse 1, chapter 9, John, he noticed a man blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Well, it was neither one sin that this man was born blind. It was Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden when Adam committed high treason against God. In the Garden of Eden, that's when sin, sickness, and disease came down, was passed down onto mankind. That's how come this man was born blind, because of Adam's sin from the very beginning. Okay, everybody, well, all right. Verse 2, his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? We know it was Adam's sin. Verse 3, and Jesus answered, it was not that this man or his parents sinned, but that he was born blind in order that the workings of God should be manifested, displayed, and illustrated in him. Jesus was not saying right here that this man was born blind so that I can come along and heal him, or God can come along and heal him. That was not what he was saying at all. Jesus was saying was, I'm going to show you what is the will of God. Sickness and disease is not the will and the plan of God, but I'm going to show you what is the will of God. Okay, this is what Jesus was saying. Verse 4, we must work the works of him who sent me and be busy with his business while it is daylight. Night is coming on when no man can work. Verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the world's light. Verse 6, and when he had said this, he spat on the ground. Here we go. What is he doing again? He's using his spit. trying to break through the Jewish tradition and belief system about the first male child that's born and opens the womb, his spit is anointed with healing. So he spit, here we go. So he spits on the ground and he makes clay, mud with his saliva. They're all seeing this. They're watching this. And he spread it as ointment on the man's eyes. Verse 7, and he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and he washed and he came back seeing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So again, here we go. Here is a blind man who was born blind. Sickness and disease that came into the world through Adam's sin, passed down onto mankind through Adam's sin. Hallelujah. Jesus said, sickness and disease is not the will of God the Father, but I'm going to show you what is the will of God the Father. And he spits and he makes mud with his spit. He takes that mud, he puts it over the man's eyes, and he tells him something. What does he tell him? Go, wash in the pool of Siloam. Again, Jesus is moving them from sight to what? Faith in what he has spoken, what he has said. This man could have said, hey, I'm blind. Do you know what? No. No, he didn't. He said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and he washed and he came back seeing. He also released his faith and acted on what Jesus had spoken, what Jesus had said, what Jesus has told him. He went and he did it. And he said to him, go wash. And he came back what? He went and he washed. He did it. He did exactly what Jesus told him. He came back what? Seeing. It was a process. But he acted on what Jesus said. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they got so mad, so upset over what happened, what took place, and especially because it happened on the Sabbath. A man was healed. Think about that. A good deed was done, and they want to get mad and get in an uproar. But Jesus was showing them that the Sabbath is just as good as any other day. It's no different. Verse 11, he replied, the man called Jesus made mud, smeared it on my eyes, said to me, go to Siloam, wash, and I went and washed, and I obtained my sight. Woo! They asked him, where is he? He said, I do not know. Verse 13, then they conducted to the Pharisees the blind who had formerly been blind. Now it was on the Sabbath day that Jesus mixed the mud and opened the man's eyes. So now again, the Pharisees asked him how he received his sight. He said to them, he smeared mud on my eyes and I washed and now I see. He's saying this to the Pharisees over and over again. Listen at this. Verse 18, however, the Jews did not believe that he had really been born blind and that he had received his sight until they called and summoned the parents of this man that was blind. Verse 19, they asked him, is this your son whom you reported as having been born blind? How then does he now see? Verse 20, his parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. Oh yeah, he was born blind. But as to how he can now see, we do not know, or who has even opened his eyes, we do not know. He's of age. Ask him. Let him speak for himself. Let him speak for himself and give his own account of it. His parents would say, look, don't come to us. You need to go to him. He's of age. He can tell you the truth. He knows. His parents said this because they feared the leaders of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should acknowledge Jesus to be the Christ, he should be expelled, excluded from the synagogue. Cast out of the temple, cast out of the synagogue, because they said they believed on Jesus. Woo, buddy, I'm telling you. So on this account, his parents said, he's of age, ask him. Verse 24, so the second time they summoned the man who had been born blind and said to him, now give God the glory, praise. This fellow we know is only a sinner, a wicked person. Then he answered, I do not know whether he's a sinner, a wicked or not, but one thing I do know. Woo! That whereas I was blind before, but now I see. That's what I do know. This blind man is saying, I was blind, but now I see. Verse 26. So they said to him, what did he actually do to you? How did he open your eyes? Verse 27. He answered, I already told you, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Can it be that you wish to become his disciples also? So, this man that was born blind, after he was healed, he became one of Jesus' disciples. Yes. Do y'all get this? He says, do y'all want to become a disciple also? In other words, I've become a disciple. Yeah. It changed his life so much. I'm telling you, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. So this blind man became a follower of Jesus Christ. So this was another healing that took place that was gradual or a process. And he listened and he acted on the words that Jesus spoke. You know, Jesus, after his resurrection, when he appeared to his disciples and different ones, there was one time that he appeared to 11 of his disciples, and Thomas was not with them when Jesus appeared to them. And the disciples told Thomas, we've seen the Lord. He's alive. And Thomas said, unless I see the nail prints in his hands and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. But then Jesus shows up again, and this time Thomas is right there with the rest of the disciples. And when Jesus shows up to the disciples again, immediately he goes right to Thomas and he addresses that doubt, unbelief issue. He says, Thomas, he said, you have to believe because you see. Blessed are those that have not seen yet believe. Hallelujah. That's you and I today. Blessed. Come on now. Moving them from sight to faith in Jesus, what he's done for us. Hallelujah. Healing belongs to you. Healing is yours. We have to learn to accept it, whether it's a process or whether it's instantaneous, and get before the Lord and ask him, Lord, how, what scriptures do you want me, what do you want me to go about in this receiving my healing. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he has always done, he's still doing and will always do. That's who he is, the healer. The healer today, the miracle worker, the provider. He's everything we need whenever we need it. Hallelujah. But he's done his part. He's done everything he's ever going to do. He's waiting on what? You and I. To take it, receive it, believe it, and act on it. Make it yours. Own it. This is mine according to the Word of God. And however you choose to release your faith, right there in your seat, hands laid on, however, that moment of contact, the moment of contact, when you release your faith, that's yours. That's yours. That's yours. That's yours. It's yours. It belongs to you right then and there. You have to take it. Take it by faith. Act on it. Praise and thank God for it. Hallelujah. So today we always want to give the opportunity. If people would like to release their faith and have hands laid on them.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.